Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Wealth Creation Radio. I am your host, Sean Hill, and I am here with the wonderful, fantastic, marvelous, awesome, running out of adjectives to describe her, Louisa Sanderson. Louisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sean. I'm excited and I'm anxious to see what the discussion brings tonight and our guests. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Oh, my last week of my Facebook exile, and I am raring to get back into action. I like to thank my girl Amanda Harris for reaching out to me and said, I miss you, or we miss you, and I miss you guys as well, and I cannot wait to get back into the fray and get back into the battle, so to speak, and I'm looking forward to that, but it has been wonderful. I've gotten some great time to myself, some great answers about some things that I was really, really looking forward to and really searching out. And so looking forward to kind of getting back on Facebook and seeing what's been happening. And man, I'm excited to be back in a back part of that. But I got the rest of this week to finish out, and I'm going to finish strong. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, enough about me. What has been going on with you? How have things been going with you?
Well, you know, things are getting really, really busy for me with the impending relaunch of the site. You know, it's already been a soft launch with mindyourblackbusiness.com, but next week I'll have all new content and some new writers that I'll be adding throughout the month of February. So things have gotten really busy, but it's really good, and I'm just so proud and so happy to see the businesses that have come together and that are working with me and those that I'm able to feature on the site. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. And then, of course, the partnership that we've created with Black Wealth Creation, that has me geeked every Tuesday. So everything is all good for me. And I will have to say I will be glad to have you back on social media. I know you did your sabbatical for very personal and very, very good reasons, and I think it's wonderful, and you're to be commended for what you've done. But Brother Man, we'll be glad to have you back because we missed the discussion.
Well, you know me, I'm always the quiet type. I don't try to start anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep things low key, and so you know, I.
It's not raining outside, is it?
I definitely look forward to kind of getting back in there and getting back in the mix and seeing what I've missed. I know I've missed a lot. I tell you what, the buzz for tonight's show has been fantastic. I am so looking forward to our guests, and, you know, we're going to get right into it. In fact, but before that, I want to make sure that I didn't have a business of the week this week, because I really want to focus on, you know, our guests. The last time we had on, we had our highest rated show, and I expect nothing else but the same this week, because I'm excited about her being a part of the show. But before we do that, I never want to neglect our nonprofit of the week, and I'm excited about having our nonprofit speak up. So I'm going to let you talk about our nonprofit, and you take it away.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Our nonprofit of the week is called Progress and Growth Incorporated, and it was founded by a wonderful lady who I connected with on Facebook and her partner, and that is Felicia Brown, and Felicia's going to actually introduce her partner when she comes on. But I'll just briefly talk about what they do, and it's an organization that unites, educates, and supports women of all ages. And I will say that just with what I've seen what Felicia and her partner do on Facebook as far as mentorship and promoting and supporting and the positive message, they're doing some great things with their organization. So, Felicia, we'd like to welcome you to Black Wealth Creation, you and your partner, and we're really anxious to learn more about progress and growth. Please do share.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome
okay.
to Black Wealth Creation.
Doing?
Doing well.
Thank you.
How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. I'm blessed tonight. Thank you for having me. My
You're
partner
so
is on the line.
Hello.
Bowen.
Good evening. Hi. And I'm sorry, what's your partner's name?
Denise.
Denise. Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm well.
Denise.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So if you all could just share with us the mission and what prompted you to start Progress and Growth, and, of course, be sure to let us know how we can get in contact or learn more about the organization.
Okay. Well, we started Progress and Growth about 2 years ago. Me and Denise, we both been in the social work field for about maybe 14 years now, and we actually worked together. But we saw that there was a need for these young girls in our areas. So we deal with the high school kids and we deal with middle age school children. But we seen like there was a huge need for them to just learn how to give back to their community, how to life skills. That was a big one that we're focusing on with the kids. And just trying to empower them to be better and want more out of life than just, you could say, like the hood. So our main goal is to really try to, you know, get these kids to have a better understanding of there's more to life. And Denise, chime in anytime.
Okay, pretty much we like to provide them with basic skills and coordinate them with outside community resources. And at some point, give them a little bit of exposure to what they just see from day-to-day activity. There wasn't any after-school programs like there used to be in different community organizations, so we wanted to give the girls something to feel like they're a part of, something to be proud to represent. And, you know, just to want more out of the situation, we, too, are from Bridgeport, Connecticut, so we try to give back the same opportunities that we were given to be exposed and to want more and go above and beyond to get higher education and things like
yeah.
that and not live within statistic means.
Okay, great. That sounds awesome. And how can we get a hold of you all? How can the audience learn more about Progress and Growth, get a hold of you, and possibly support you?
Well, we are on Facebook. That's a big one. Progress and Growth, Inc. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us at Progress and Growth at Gmail. Our website is rebranding everything, so that's in the works. But the biggest thing is on Facebook. We do a lot of stuff through Facebook.
Okay.
And
okay.
Instagram.
Okay, so if somebody searched Progress and Growth, Inc. on Facebook and Instagram, they'd be able to find you and your contact information is on there?
Yes, and I can use the number as well.
Go ahead.
203-843-8429.
Excellent. Well, you know, I appreciate you ladies being on. We really need organizations like yours. You know, we have... You know, there's historically been stuff like Girl Scouts, what have you. But I think there's been a disconnect. Like you said, there aren't those many after-school programs, and especially those that offer the type of mentorship and the support that you're offering are women and young ladies. So I think that's an awesome. Tonight we're going to have Brandy Adamson on, and she's a great resource for a nonprofit. And I just want to put that out there. I encourage you all to possibly stay on the line if you can. We're of course talking about a different topic, but I would encourage you to stay on the line and listen to Brandy and even reach out to her. Will you be able to continue with us and listen to the show?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Great. Well, Sean is actually going to mute your mics, But if you should happen to have a question or if you want to chime into the discussion, we certainly welcome that. All you'll have to do is just press the number 1, and then we can get you back on the line to participate. Sounds good?
Sounds
yep.
great.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
All right. What an exciting nonprofit. I love that part of the show, how we just give some, free airtime. And I am blessed to do it, to be able to have that. And I just hope they get all the, you know, benefits that they can get. And before I get to our exciting guest, and I am so excited about that, I'm constantly amazed and humbled. I have to give a shout-out to my brother, Darren Smith. You know what? Like I said, I've been doing this for a minute in different shows, and I tell you, no matter what curveball I throw him, no matter what wild, crazy idea I come up with for a show, he is there, always supporting me. I love you, man. You are the man. You the man. And I appreciate, you know what, I appreciate you so much. You know, a lot of times my mama always told me we need to give people their flowers while we're living and while they're living. And sometimes we don't always get a chance to tell those who supported us, who've been there for us, who've encouraged us when we may have been going through some challenges, just how much they mean to us and how important that type of support is. So, I did not want to let another show go by without giving a shout out to my boy. He just keeps me pumped up every time we do a show. And man, I tell you, he is the man, and I thank him that for that. But anyway, had to say that, get that out there. I want to give Louisa. Is there somebody, I don't want to delay it too much long, but I'm in a giving mood tonight. Is there somebody you want to reach out to and just give them a shout out?
No, because there's too many people. I have too many people that I like. If I shouted out, and not that anybody would feel bad, but I would feel bad because I have so many. No, you know what? I take that back. There is one person. I don't even know if she's on the show. I know a lot of times she can't make it. But there is one lady who I have known, goodness, like literally since we were almost babes. We were in the Air Force together way back when. I ain't going to tell you what year because that'll date me. And we hadn't really seen each other for some time up until, I'd say, the past 6 years, or talked to each other, rather. And that's just been through Facebook, the power of Facebook and social media. But we had found each other again, and we've been communicating here and there. But Dawn Douglas, and she has, just to see how far she has come from the young lady that I knew when we were in the Air Force, and I, you know, not to give too much away, but we did like to party, we did like to have our fun, but she has matured into one of the most beautiful and mature and positive women that I know, and each morning, and Dawn sends me a positive message, so I don't care how bad I feel, physically, mentally, or otherwise. I don't care what side of the bed I woke up on. I know by 7:15, I have a text from Dawn wishing me positivity and health and prosperity. And like I said, there's so many other people that I could thank, you know, if I had the next week or so to do it. But just what she does, just what she does. And I know she does it for a lot of people. So that is, she's one of the most positive women that's in my life right now, and I do want to say thanks to Dawn for that.
Well, you know what, that's wonderful, and if she's not listening, what you can do is, she's been mentioned on this show, so you can absolutely forward this to her, and if she wasn't able to catch it live, she'll be able to catch it on the recording, so definitely
mm-hmm.
do that. You know what, it might be one of our lowest rated shows ever, but we might actually have to just take one night out, just take a night, and just have a kind of a shout-out show, just a show where we allow people to come on and give a shout-out to somebody that's been special in their life. And just have, like I said, I don't know, that's just in my spirit. We might not have, but me and you do it. But I think sometimes people need to hear how important they are. And imagine that, if somebody could come on a show and mention your name and then forward you that program, and you get to hear your name live on a radio show. I think that'd be pretty special. So maybe just throwing that out there in the universe, you know, I maybe that'll catch your ear, and we'll work on that and see if we can do that. What you think about it?
I already have a date in mind, but I'll wait until we're off off the air to talk about it, so I don't put you on. But I think that's awesome. And I don't think that'll be our lowest rated show. I definitely don't.
Well, all right. Well, I'm not going to hold it back here long. We talked about raising. She was the author, the finisher, the beginning and ending of one of our highest rated shows, and I don't doubt that this is going to be one just like it. Brandi Adamson is a visionary and a strategist, and she comes from the corporate sector, and now she's working on her own, and she is just tearing it up. She's doing some great things with some nonprofits. But I know one thing that's equally as important to her and close to her heart is working with the government, and not only just working with them, but helping businesses get their part of that government pie. And so, Brandi, how are you doing this evening?
Good evening, Shauna and Louisa. Good evening, everyone. I am doing very well. Again, I want to thank both of you for inviting me to come back on the show. When I heard you say earlier that the last show was the highest rated, I was very surprised.
Well, I wasn't. Not just because the subject was so important. I tell you, every time I'm on Facebook, I see, and I'm in our different groups, and I know Louisa can kind of speak to this as well. I almost, without a doubt, every day somebody's saying, how can I start a nonprofit? How can I keep my nonprofit going? What do I need to do to make my nonprofit successful? So I had a feeling there was a lot of need out there, and I tell you what, I have a feeling that there's just as much need for this show right here, because I think a lot of times we are not taking advantage of all the opportunities that are there for. So, Louisa, have you found that to be true, that in your group and in your connections, that these two topics tend to come up a lot?
I would say definitely nonprofit. Not so much the government contracting, but that's because I think people just don't understand it. And so that's where Brandi's going to be a valuable resource for us tonight. Because even myself, personally, I have kind of sticked my toe into the idea of government contracting, but I've never taken it as far, just because, you know, as we all know, the government is full of so much red tape and processes and everything. So I think once people hear this show, it's going to open it up. It's going to open it up very wide. And Brandi, I think your phone is going to be ringing off the hook once people understand that there is an opportunity and for a lot of different businesses to get into government contracting. So I'm anxious myself. I'm really anxious to hear everything.
Well, Brandi, that's a great place to start, because I know you deal with that a lot. What are some, the reservations that when you reach out to people, what are some reservations they have about working with the government or government contract?
Well, the first huge reservation is, as Louisa said, there's so much red tape, and I don't want the government in my business.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things with regards to that. As a citizen of the United States that pays taxes, they're in your business anyway. So it's not, I just really try to pare it down so that people realize you're saying that, but really they're not in, quote unquote, in your business. The federal government, state government agencies, independent school districts, all are public agencies. They help. They're there for the need of the public. Because of that, they have things that they purchase. They purchase everything from paper to pencils to IT equipment to hiring IT consultants and financial analysts and janitorial services and landscape and construction. There's so many opportunities to do business with the government, goods and services. I mean, just a mass. Toilet paper. You know, there's just so much trash disposal, recycled disposal. So there are many companies in existence today that are in a position to do business with the federal government. the state government, cities and municipalities, as well as school districts. And I will say, to position yourself to be able to do that, first of all, you need to be a legally formed entity, meaning that you cannot be doing business as under a fictitious name. With that, you want to set up your Dun & Bradstreet profile. You also want to set up your SAM registry. And I'll say this before I continue. For those that are interested, I can put together a one-pager that just kind of outlines high-level the things that you need to do to position your business to be government contract ready. And we can discuss that at the end some more, Sean and Louisa. But after you do those things, you want to make sure that you know what services and products your business offers, because then you know how to seek out those potential opportunities. We'll start, and I'll start with independent school districts because it's a little smaller.
Okay.
And those, and kind of easier for people. You know, you know your community, you know where you live. You know, you can kind of work from there. They are, and it varies by agency, but there are informal as well as formal procurement opportunities. And procurement is another word for purchasing opportunities. So in some instances, everything that's under $25,000, the purchasing officer, depending upon the specifics of the rules, but they don't have to advertise those opportunities. They can just call up vendors that are either registered or vendors that they know and ask for a quote for, and I'll just say, recycle bins for the schools. Let's say they have a budget of $25,000. Well, those are opportunities that if you don't have a relationship with those purchasing officers, it's very unlikely that you'll become aware of. So you think $25,000, that's $25,000 more than you had in your account, let's say 3 months earlier. So I challenge smaller new companies to especially identify which agencies they want to work with and build those relationships with those purchasing officers, because the people that they have the relationships with on those informal opportunities, they're likely to pick up the phone and call you or send you an email and say, hey, Sean, I know you have recycle bins. Can you send me a quote for 400 blue ones that are square or rectangle and 3 feet tall or 4 quarts? So then those are ways that you get smaller contracts that you can manage as you build your profile. On the other hand, there are formal procurements, and those, again, depending on the agency, are larger dollar contracts. So there's usually a process, a more rigorous process that's gone through to get to the awarded vendor. But again, you want to know which agencies you want to work with and go and register on their site so that you become aware, so that you are informed of the opportunities that become available. So let's say, for instance, Sean, you're in construction, and they have a school district wants to build a computer lab, okay? Let's say the project is $5 million contract because it's a really big lab. You can either submit as a prime, which means your company would take the lead on that contract, or you can partner with a large firm and say you want to be a subcontractor. So instead of being responsible for the entire project, let's say you would be responsible for drywall and paint. On a $5 million contract, that might be $400,000 worth of work. So a lot of times businesses that are new to government contracting prefer on the larger or formal opportunities to start as a subcontractor, because what that does is that decreases your liability on the project, but it also gives you the opportunity to learn the process for that independent school district as far as how do you go through the process, you know, how does invoicing work and that type of thing. So there's a benefit. I mean, there's a benefit to both, but you have to know what your company is capable of handling, because what you don't want to do is not be able to finish a project and then they have to award the contract to someone else, or you have to pay liquidated damages for every day that you're late. And liquidated damages are, they're almost like a pay for being late. So let's say that you were supposed to have the project finished December 1st, but you're not finished, so it takes you 10 more days. Liquidated damages may be $100, it may be $1,000, it could be $3,000 a day. Well, in 3 days, if it's in 10 days, if that's $3,000, that's $30,000. Nobody wants to just give $30,000 back. So you want to make sure that when you look at the projects, you make sure that your company is able to deliver. And again, when you're new, when you're smaller, new to government contracting, there's nothing wrong with going in as a subcontractor. So to be successful in that, you want to start building relationships with those prime firms. And you build those relationships by meeting them, you know, going and meeting with them, explaining to them what your capabilities are. It's important that you want to have a capability statement. And that document tells a little bit about your company. It tells what your company is capable of doing. It typically has your DUNS number, your CAGE number, your NACE codes, your contact information. It's usually a one pager, sometimes two. But what it is, it's almost like your company's resume, so that when you go to those prime firms, you say, this is what I'm about. You leave it as a marketing piece. You leave it as a reference for them, so that when they are putting their teams together or identifying opportunities, they know who they can call on and who they're willing to call on. And again, you can start as a subcontractor with a bigger firm and start building your track record. And as you do good work with them, great work with them, then they begin to include you on more and more projects. So it's about building those relationships.
Brandy, I have a question. And like I said,
yes,
the government contracting is a new one for me. As you're building relationships with the prime firms, do any of them ever have any type of, like, networking or relationship building? Do they offer almost like an open house for those who are looking to establish those relationships with them? Have you ever heard of anything like that where the firms might send out some sort of
invitation?
Even a request for
Excellent question. I have seen that happen sometimes. Another way that you I get to identify those is that by attending the pre-bid conferences, and what those are is the agency, let's say the independent school district, will schedule a meeting to talk about and discuss the project. So the people that are usually in the room are the prime firms that intend to bid on the project, as well as subcontractors, new companies or smaller companies that want to partner with them. So that's an opportunity there. You can go, you can meet them, get their business card. You may or may not get to really have a true meeting and deep discussion there, but that's definitely an opportunity for you to shake hands, put a face with the name, and then schedule a time later to meet and, you know, express your interest in working with them either on that project or another project, discuss what your capabilities are, and then move forward from there. You can also, if you know, you know, if you're watching your industry and know who the big players are, you can really go online, Google, do your research, and then just reach out to them and request a meeting as well.
Okay,
you know, Brandy, that was a great, great question. One of the things that I, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the school district, because when I'm thinking of the government, I'm thinking about the U.S. government, the federal government, state governments. But boy, I tell you, there's so much that's part of that that we don't even think about. And I'm not going to get off on my tangent, but I'm going to get on my soapbox just a little bit, if you'll allow me. I was driving up the road. Well, I was driving up the road today, and I saw the guys. They were doing construction. There was a construction project, and of course we know a lot of our construction people are our brown brothers, our, you know, Hispanic brothers, and they have a bonding with that. They, you know, obviously are hardworking, and that seems to be their area. And I was thinking, my goodness, how wonderful would it be if you had connections in that, and people could mentor you, and they could bring you in, and you could be part of that. And the reason I said that is we can be part of that too, not just because we're, you know, a different race, but we need to have something like that. We need to be part of that where we have young men or young women. I don't want to just be you know, sexist, that can you know, get a trade, get a skill, and develop that, and that can be all part of that bonding, that's something that they're known for. And I was just, and it was just amazing to me. But so talk about that a little bit, about as you get out there and you see what's out there, what are some of the things and trends that you see in that area?
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I was going to discuss the minority certification piece.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, I mean, it's a third-party certification that certifies that a company is at least 51% owned by a minority. So minority being a woman, an African-American, a Hispanic-American, Native American, East Indian, et cetera. So what that is that gives you a leg up, because most federal contracts have a required subcontracting goal. So that means that they have a percentage of the project, the prime is required to spend with a certified minority firm. So let's go back to your example of the construction company. So, yes, the construction company XYZ, you saw them. And they have a $6 million contract. Well, they may have a subcontracting goal of 20%. So that means 20% of the dollars of the value of that contract must be spent with certified minority firms. It could be one firm, it could be five firms, it could be 10 firms. It just depends on the scope of the contract, what they are capable of doing, and what they are going to subcontract out. So in that instance, again, you're able to, as a sub, your company, if you have your minority certification, your company looks even more attractive to them. Not only are you capable of doing the work, but also you have the minority certification, which helps them to meet the subcontracting goal for their project. And I actually have a company or a construction company that I work with on the East Coast that they are going to establish a mentoring program so that young people can learn more about the construction business and should they desire to either work for a construction business or start their own.
That is so powerful. I mean, when we think about the cost of college these days and we think about, you know, how expensive it is, and I'm, believe me, I have a degree, and, you know, proud to have it, and it was an expensive sucker, but I got it. But, you know, it's not for everybody. You know, college is great, but once again, it's not for everybody. And if we can give our young people, and any people really of any age, some skills, because guess what? When you get those construction jobs, one, they mostly are well-paying. You know, they tend to be well-paying. They're very physical, but one of the other things is they're not going to be outsourced. If I need to build a road in Dallas, I'm not going to just outsource that and say, okay, well, I'll just get this this country in India to do it. It's going to be built here. Now, there may be some Indian people over here, but that road has to be built here. So these skills are not only valuable, but guess what? They're transferable. To learn how to build a road here in construction here is going to be same all over the world. So you're going to have a skill set that's really going to be, you know, transferable. So when I hear that, that encouraged me. And I think, you know, maybe that's a part of this whole big picture that maybe we miss. We look at that one little contractor, that one little piece of the pie, but it really is pretty big, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. It really is. I've come across many African Americans, and not every one that I've come across, but a lot want to jump straight into, I want to be a prime, I don't want to share a piece of the pie. And you, unless you know the entity that you're working with, because it's not just doing great work, but it's also the back end that you also have to work through. You have to know their process, you have to know their system, you have to know how to get through all that red tape. So why not start as a subcontractor? Get your feet wet, learn the process, then move forward. And then you're successful and you're building a solid track record. A lot of people, you know, they want to jump in feet first. Oh, yeah, let's go after this $100 million contract. Well, there's a lot to that, and especially in construction, since you brought up construction, I will touch on the bonding piece. You have to be bonded to be able to do those projects. So if your company is not able to get the bonding, then there's no reason for you to really entertain being a prime for that project. You want to focus on being a sub because you're not, in most instances, you're not required to carry the bonding. The prime is responsible for that. You know, and insurance is another big thing as well that can keep a firm, whether minority or otherwise, from being able to go after those big contracts. So it's more than a notion to have that interest in those bigger contracts. It's important that, minority or not, you are fully aware of the requirements of that project. Yes. You know, yes, you're going to build, as I mentioned in the school district instance, you're going to build the technology center, yes, but there's so much that goes into that even before you begin the work.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to just be sure that when you look at a project or an opportunity, your company not only is able to do the work being requested, but also that you have the manpower and resources to complete that project.
That's great. And can you speak a little bit to maybe some people? I know we talk about construction. That's kind of the easy. That's kind of the low hanging fruit. But what are some businesses that they may be out there and they may say, you know what? I never thought about that. I never thought that they would want my product. What are some groups that you've worked with that probably would be some kind of surprising?
Promotional materials. If you have anything that's promotional related, any awards, if you create awards for companies and their employees, trying to think what else. Janitorial is a popular one. Maybe printing, if your company prints. things. I mean, professional services, if you are an auditor, that's something. Project management is something that might be of interest. I mean, there are so many things. You never know what the agency is focused on or why they need to purchase something or what they're going to purchase. Uniforms, embroidery. Sometimes they want to have something. Maybe they want to have graphic design work or website design work. There's so much. You think about in your business the things that you buy or for your home. You know, some of the things you buy. They buy lawnmowers. If they don't have a landscape company to do it, they buy flowers. I mean, there's just so much. There's really so much. But when I work with a company, we talk through what are your products and services, and then we think about how you can, you know, the opportunities that may present themselves. And then maybe you have a promotional company and that school district hasn't used you in the past. But if you reach out to them and say, hi, I own XYZ Promotions and I'm interested in any opportunities you have, that may spark a thought, an interest, or the potential for an opportunity to work with your company. So it's not just in the opportunities that they present as a need, but it's also in showing them why your company's services or products are needed.
Right, how a particular company may fit that need.
Exactly.
That's so good. That's so good and that's so valuable. Let me ask you this. Let's say, for instance, any company, we'll just take maybe a printing company. Now, you know what? I heard Brandy on that show. I don't even know what the name of the show was, but I heard her, and she sounded so interesting, and, boy, that got me to thinking. But, boy, I tell you, when I think about the government, I don't know if I can get my arms around it. It's so big. I mean, from school districts to the United States government, I mean, so where would you suggest that person start after, other than starting with you, let's say they were a little bit shy, they were a little bit kind of scared or whatever reason, but let's say they just want to do a little research on their own, where would you suggest that they start?
The SBA is a good place to start. I mean, they have a lot of information there. Also, just depending on if you have your local school district, let's go there. Go to their website and learn about their opportunities. And generally they have on there the steps that they go through to become a certified vendor or a registered vendor, as well as the opportunities they have available. Those are the good resources to start with, because again, as you discussed, there's so much information. So you have to really know where you want to take your company. Where do you want to start? Mm-hmm. Because federal contracts, yes, the opportunities are great, but you have to know that it might take you a little longer, because if you're going to go the route of let me be a subcontractor and build those relationships, it takes time to build those relationships. But you can be strategic as far as, yes, I'm going to build relationships for these bigger projects, but at the same time, I'm going to look at the school districts, I'm going to look at the city, I'm going to look at the state for smaller projects that I can be a prime on and build my business that way.
You know what, that is so good, and I'm just going to, and what I know about what you've already talked about in government contracts, you could probably put on the tip of a Q-tip and have a room to spare, but I'm just going to suggest one thing for people that want to, you know, try to get into those things, and you know, just like a lot of times when you want to get on with that major company, or you want to get on with some big process, a lot of times those things take a while. You know, you might not, you know, say, okay, I'm going to start my construction company tonight, and boy, I'm going to go for those big projects. I'm going to work for the government. Those things take a while. So what I would suggest, and Brandy, you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong in this, but really look at that as your long-term goal. You know, start the process, get it going. But it's probably not something that's going to happen tomorrow. So while you're working on other businesses here, you're getting that business started, and you're getting your business practices down, and you're generating, you know, maybe other clients, and you're getting them going, and now you have this in the background, so that's just working. It's almost like you're putting the CD away, and you know that money is going to be there, and so you just have that in the background, and at some point it's going to mature. You know, I just really would caution people to not start there per se, but just start working on it, get the process going, get the process started. You're building your other business. Things are going great. And then, boom, before you know it, my mama always told me a watch pot never boils. So while you're working on those other things and you're building that clientele and you're building your name, you have this still working in the background. And before you know it, boom, they're ready to go. You've already got a name. You've already got the money set aside. You've probably got some experience now, and now you're ready to handle that. So what do you think about that kind of way to get in there?
That's absolutely the way that I would encourage someone, because, again, you don't want to set yourself up for failure. And when they're larger contracts, they're on a tight time frame, they have a business need they're trying to fill, and they don't want to hand hold you through the process. So, and again, that's not always going to be an overnight thing. So you want to be sure that get some contracts you're comfortable with that are manageable, that you can do comfortably while you learn their process. And again, every agency is different. Some have different systems, some have different processes. So you want to be able to, and again, you can't do everything, so you probably want to have someone on your team that handles your invoicing, that handles, you know, ensuring that your subcontractors get their information to you so that you can report accurately and timely. So there are a lot of moving pieces. Yeah, let's say if it's a janitorial company, there are a lot of moving pieces besides coming in there after 5 o'clock cleaning the building. There are a lot. So you want to be sure that you have a good team in place, not only to do the work itself, but also the administrative and back-end piece.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And that's just so vital and so important that you have the right mindset, you know, when you're working with that. Now, one of the challenges, or one of the, I guess, the drawbacks that I've heard just mentioned is that, yeah, you know what, they give you the contract, and boy, it sounds good, and it's wonderful. But my gosh, they take forever to pay you. I mean, my goodness, it takes a month or something for you to have to get the money. What have you found that to be an issue, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, and that's another good reason for you to begin on smaller projects and to begin as a subcontractor, because most agencies are 30 to 45 and some are 60 days out. So if you are a small company and strapped for cash, you don't want that one project to be your sole income generator at that point. So you want to be sure that, you know, if it's a smaller project, let's say doing web design, then, you know, and it might be a $25,000 project, but you know you're not going to get all that money at one time. So, you know, it's typically on milestones. So you can also be working on other projects. When it's a larger contract and you're a subcontractor, the prime is responsible for paying you. And generally, because they're larger in size, they're not waiting on the check from that agency before they pay out for monthly expenses. and you don't want to be a new contractor in a prime position strapped for cash and you can't pay your people, because if you can't pay them, they might not show up for work the next week. And then you're really in trouble.
That's right. Then you end up on CNBC on American Greed or some other program. And
exactly.
I know we don't want any of our people on that.
Of course not. You could even end up just on the local news, you know. Or again, we go back to the liquidated damages piece. If you're not out there working and you're late, you're going to pay for this. So you end up being in a worse position because you're trying to go after that prime contract and you really aren't financially sufficient enough to handle one of that magnitude at that time.
You know, we talked about a few, landmines to kind of look out for. Other than the ones we've already covered, what are some of the mistakes that you see people make when they, you know, really get this thought in their head or really start getting excited about working, you know, and working government contracts? What are some of the mistakes you see people make?
They don't read and they don't follow instructions.
Woo! Oh, look out now.
That's a big one. I mean, that's usually a big one because they may hear the title, they may read a snippet of what the project is, but then they don't read the full project scope and requirements. And so they spend all this time preparing a response, and they either aren't qualified to do the work, don't address everything, or they can't do any of the work. So you've wasted time, resources. If you've hired anyone to help you put it together, you've wasted money doing that, when if you would have just read from the beginning, you would have known, yes, I can, or no, I can't. Something else, it sounds really simple and it sounds like a no-brainer, but following the instructions. So many people fail to follow the instructions, and so at that point, you know, not following the instructions, you could have your bid thrown out, depending on what you don't include, what you do include, how you lay it out. And you have to read in the document how they want it. How do they want your response? What do they want you to include in your response? So if you're not careful, you'll end up getting your response thrown out just because you're not following the instructions. So those are the two very simplistic but very detrimental things that if you don't read and if you don't follow instructions, you're definitely setting yourself up for failure.
You know,
Brandy, I'm gonna
Oh no, fine, Lisa. Go ahead.
I know everybody forgot I was here tonight. I'm listening.
Hey, you are there. How you doing? There you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
Brandy,
on that note, when people do not follow instructions, and I know we're near encouraging people not to do that, I think that's a pet peeve for all of us. But are there opportunities to resubmit? And that, you know, just for those who, as we're going new and going through the process, let's say somebody misses something on an application. Taking in consideration the due dates on the proposals and all, are they usually able to resubmit that proposal if they should happen to mess up on the first go around? Are there do overs, so to speak?
No. Let me not say flat out no. If there are other respondents that do follow instructions and read, they could be awarded the contract. The only instance in which you could get a do-over or a reprieve, because I won't even call it a do-over, but just a reprieve, is if it's something that you didn't submit that is immaterial to your response. So maybe you left out a form that they need you to fill out. That's probably not a deal-breaker to determine your eligibility and ability to perform. But if you leave out, you know, past performance, well, that, you know, they're not going to say, oh, can you send us your past performance? They're not going to call you and ask you for that.
Right. Right. And, of course, as we're submitting these proposals or these applications, that in and of itself, would you say, is kind of, it's a part of the process. If they see that you can't even fulfill the requirements or you haven't even read, that's kind of, you're messing up on the audition. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. Exactly, because, and it's human nature, because the people that are reviewing them, they're like, okay, in just human nature, they can't follow basic instructions. So if you can't follow basic instructions, do I really want you building my computer technology center? Probably not. Do I really want you to design that new doctor's office? Not so much. So it's important that, and we work with our clients that throughout the process, whether it's helping you identify who are the prime contractors and coaching you on how to build those relationships, whether it's your minority certification, your capability statement, identifying which agencies you want to work with, going over those opportunities with you to determine, is it a good fit, whether prime or sub, whether it's helping you put your proposal together, going to the contract negotiation. So wherever you are in the process, our team is available to help and assist you, because especially with minority-owned firms, we want to work with you so that you're successful, because that is a huge, huge opportunity that so many of us don't take advantage of because of red tape and I don't want the government in my business.
You know what, your message should be, and I don't pick on churches, but so much of our community is in the church, and your message is one that should be preached in the church and in the schoolhouse, and on college campuses. You know, that we need to be players. We have, it's 2015. We need to move beyond the mindset and think that there are some things out there, oh, that's for them, it's not for me, I couldn't do that, that's, oh, poor me. We've got to get our mind right. We've got to get in the game. And there's money out there that we should be having access to, we should be taking advantage of, that people are having and they're getting it. And we could be doing that. And so I just want to encourage, you know, I don't know, do you ever speak at churches, or do you ever go to universities and speak, or has that ever, I won't say encouraged you, but do you get a lot of people wanting to say, Brandon, can you come talk to my group?
I have gotten people. I've done, in the past I did it a lot. It's starting to pick up now, but definitely if anyone has a group they want me to come speak to, a church, a school, your women's organization, your networking group, your meetup group, whether it's local or we figure some way to do, you know, whether I travel to your group or we do it virtually, definitely interested and willing to work with groups to become successful, because they have to. The thing is, and what people don't realize is, federal funds, they require a subcontracting goal, period, point blank, period. Cannot do all of the work. They can't say, oh, that's a choice, I don't have to. No, that's a requirement of the contract. So just by virtue of the fact that you're a minority certified firm puts you a cut above all of your competition. Just because you have that. And not that they will, I mean, and they're very prudent in who they work with in selecting who their minority certified firms are, because that's their reputation on the line as well. So you definitely want to remain professional, you know, do the work, be very, very upfront about your capabilities, Don't say you can do more than you can, because that will cause problems in that relationship as you build it. But definitely open to speaking opportunities, meeting with groups. I'm thinking about hosting a workshop on minority certifications and just the benefit mm-hmm. and how to fill out your form and send that information in. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it face-to-face or virtual or both, but definitely looking to do that as well.
Man, that's so valuable and so needed. We have to start taking advantage of these opportunities, and we can't keep crying or can't keep saying they're not there, because somebody's going to get the contract. Somebody's going to,
exactly.
Their money's going to go somewhere. And so mm-hmm. it may as well go in your pocket and feed your family as opposed to anybody else. Why not you? That's what I would encourage anyone to say is, why not you? Why can't you have that? Why can't you be part of this? And one of the things I would encourage anybody that wants to be part of this is to make sure you reach out to Brenda, because, and Brenda, you could talk to this a little bit more. How important is it to have a consultant? See, sometimes we think about, you know, oh my goodness, how much is that going to cost? Well, see, that's not how the wealthy think. They don't look at how much something costs. They look at how much something is worth. So it mm-hmm. may cost you a portion to have the right leadership, to have the right guides. But what is it going to be worth to you to have somebody that has that experience, who's gone through those rocky roads, who knows where the trail is? And sometimes that trail can be hidden. I mean, if you, as Brandy said, if you turn in file 1234A and they need 1234B, you're out of the running. You're out of the game mm-hmm. before you even started. So mm-hmm. what I would just encourage you is just get the right counsel, get the right leadership. You've heard Brandy. You know that she knows what she's talking about. So if you're serious about this, now, if you want to do it on your own, that's fine. I don't want to discourage anybody from doing whatever they want to do. If you want to do it on your own, that's fine. But once again, understand what you're getting involved with. There's a great opportunity, but with great opportunity comes great responsibility, and we don't want you to get in over your head, so to speak. We want to make sure that you're taken care of and that you know exactly what you're doing. Now, one of the things I did want to ask Brandy is there ever an opportunity for a nonprofit to kind of do business with the government? We're always thinking about for-profit businesses, but would there ever be an opportunity made for a nonprofit organization to work with the government at all?
Not as under a government contract. And that's why when I work with nonprofits, I encourage them to also establish a for-profit arm, because a lot of times what you offer through your nonprofit can also be a for-profit arm, and then you can take advantage of opportunities, whether they're with the federal government or with private companies, or community agencies as well. So that's another topic, but definitely just being mindful that additional streams of income are possible. It's not all or nothing.
Gotcha. And along those same lines, like I said, I don't want to take us too far off from this show, but, we always see the books out there and the commercials out there that the government is going to pay me to start my own business. How uh-huh. wonderful and generous of them that they're going to give me money to start my own. So is it possible that they may give me money to start my own business so I can then work with them? Would that be something that could happen?
The government does not give small businesses money to start a new business.
I'm sorry. Could you say that one more time, please?
I sure can. The federal government does not give small businesses, does not give individuals money to start a small business.
Are we insurance? Can I say amen? I've had so many people think that.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, they do. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, so could you talk about that a little bit? Go ahead.
I will. And some of that is from infomercials that come on or information that they heard from someone else. Again, you have to do research. Even my clients that work with me, I encourage them, research, go look at this, go learn for yourself, because as a consultant and a coach, I want to help you with your business. I don't own your business. So you need to be knowledgeable about your industry, best practices. And at some point, when my clients first start me, some of them, we do a lot of hands-on, getting their foundation set, getting them prepared. But once you're out the gate and 5 miles down the road, you're not going to, I don't want you to need me as much, especially not with the basic foundation. I want you to be knowledgeable of that. So as you grow your business, you may need help and assistance in growing your knowledge base on a new adventure or avenue or part of your business. But the basics, I want you to remember those and do your research and know, yes, I need to do taxes every year, so let me go find an accountant. Yes, I need to, maintain my website, so let me get a web designer. Get your advisory team together. Know where you want your business to go so that when somebody comes to you and says, oh, give me $3,000, I'm going to write you this grant because the government going to give you $6 million. You're not writing a check for $3,000.
I laugh, and I'm not trying to laugh at anybody. I know there's some well-meaning people out there that want to do good. But, I see this on Facebook all the time. I see it on the infomercials all the time, that the government is giving people money to start. But I know we kind of get in the field, but I think it's still the government. So that's where the source of the funds are coming from. And we're talking about working with the government. And I would hate to see somebody, as you say, give this shyster, this contract to, I know where the secret money is. I know where the hidden, grants are. These are the grants the government don't want you to know about. Come in off the ledge. We want you to do things the right way. We want you to be successful. We want you to, as I always talk about, start small and grow big. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. We want to start big and get bigger. And start at the top and go up. And that's not always the way it's done. And so, I just really wanted to touch on that because I know that's kind of – I see you talk about that all the time. I know Louisa has kind of touched on that because we can really get far afield if we aren't doing things the right way and we don't have the right mindset. And I would always encourage you to really look at your business. And we can kind of go into this area because both of you are business consultants as well, to look at your business. And if there are certain things that you can't afford, I won't say you don't have the money for, because you really can't afford not to have them, but I'm going to say you don't have the money for a lawyer, you don't have the money for an accountant, you don't have the money for a bookkeeper, some people that you need to have on your team. If you don't have the money for that, then it might not be the time for you to really open the business. We need to get a little more funding. Maybe we need to do some other things to get there, and you'll get there. But if you don't have the money to put together a team that can really move you forward and take you light years ahead of where you will begin, then it might not be the time. And so, Brandon, Louisa, either one of you, and I will go Brandon first. As a consultant, how important is it for new businesses or even, businesses that have been with them some time, in existence some time, how important is it for them to get that team together?
Their success depends on their team. Because knowledge is power, and if you don't have the knowledge, you definitely want someone on your team that has that knowledge that can, as with an accountant, keep you out of trouble, or with a consultant or someone that's knowledgeable in a specific area to help you grow big.
I love it. I love it. Louisa, when you consult with people and they come to you for advice and they say, you know what, I want to do this, I'm excited about it, and you start kind of going down the list of people they need on their team, and they say, I can't do that. How do you handle that?
Well, you know what, Sean, I agree with Brandy, but I think for me, I don't want somebody's lack to be the showstopper. You know, it might be. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, they might have to pump the brakes a little bit and rethink what they're doing and their approach. But I also try to look at things from a creative perspective. I think I've probably said this over and over again on shows. If you don't have the money to get a bookkeeper, if you can't afford a lawyer, you know, then how can we get you that information so that you don't have to stop your dream, so you don't have to put off your desire to start a business. You know, whether it's bartering, whether it's seeking free services, whether it's, you know, somebody really digging in and getting them as much information as possible on their own as they can get. I really encourage my clients to keep going. Of course, there are times where you have to say, wait a minute, you're just not ready. There are people that I've had to say, okay, we might need to just not do this right now. You know, let's work on reassessing and then moving further. But I really, my thing is, let's not stop the show. How can we get this information? Who do we need to talk to? What do you have that you can, you know, maybe trade in kind? If you have a product or a service that knowledge person might need, or if it's a network, you know, and that's why networking and building your support system is so important, because as we've seen within our networking, people are willing to help. You know, people who've mm-hmm. already been doing it and who are in the game, they're willing to help you. So I wholeheartedly agree. Sometimes we just need to say, let's stop. Let's reevaluate, reassess, flag on the play, whatever analogy. But at the same time, I'm all about, okay, we see there's a lack. So how can we supplement? What's the best way to get this information or to get you to the next point?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the key, is realizing that you still need that person. See, I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to say, hey, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it, it's not for me. Understand that you still need that team member. You need the person on your team. And now it's just a matter of you know, what can I bring to the table? I often encourage people, because I see this out there a lot, looking for mentors. And I think in a great way, Louisa, you're a mentor, and Brandy, you're a mentor. And I try to be a mentor when I can be. And people are, well, I need somebody to mentor me. I need a mentor. And what I challenge them with is, well, what do you bring to the table? What skill, it doesn't always have to be money, but what skill or service can you provide to that mentor that he or she will take you on as a mentee? Because, see, it's a two-way street. You're going to get some experience. You're going to get some guidance. But you have to have some skin in the game. You have to put something up, because most of these people, you know, they're very busy, and they're very successful for a reason. And for them to kind of bring you under their wing, you have to be contributing something. And we just can't come to the table with an empty plate. We have to bring something with us to the table. And that's what I encourage. And the same thing with this business. As you said, as an accountant, an accountant for my printing business. Well, maybe he needs some business cards. Maybe he needs some things that I can provide. So I really just encourage people to think outside the box. I know we got a little bit off the subject, but I really don't think we did, because I think what Brandy has said through this whole show is you have to be prepared. If you're going to do business with the government, you want to look professional. You want to create a professional air about yourself. And it's not just image, but it's also, you want to have a work history. You want to have some skins on the wall. You want to have some things that you've done that have made you, you know, somebody that they would want to do business with. And I think that's the key. So, boy, I tell you, we are over an hour, and I have so enjoyed the show. I'm going to wrap it up. But Brandy, what would you say as you leave would be a parting thought about getting people, you know, get them off stuff, get them off, you know, I just don't think that's for me. What would you say?
I would say if you want to grow your business and you're open to new opportunities to do so, let's chat.
That is. Couldn't put it any better than that. So if they want to chat, tell us, how can they get in touch with you so they can chat?
I'm on Facebook, facebook.com. My business page is Ms. Brandy Adamson. You can also send me an email to services@thesevaingroup.com. That's S-E-R-V-I-C-E-S, the at sign, T-H-E, S as in Sam, A, V as in violin, A, N as in Nancy, E, group, no S, .com.
All right. You know what? I'm so excited people have joined our chat at the very last minute as we're about to get off of here. Want to just give a quick shout out to mycocreations.com. I see you out there, co-creator. Creators.com, see you out there. Hello, how you doing? Boy, I tell you, Louisa, you know, we set the bar high on this show, but I think we deliver. I think we're giving some value. What are your thoughts on it?
I think we set the bar too high tonight. I couldn't talk. I had to just sit back and listen. I agree, though, Sean. And as usual, Brandy was she's fantastic. You know, we all have our networks both on the show and offline and wherever. And Brandy, as always, you had great information. And I was quiet for once, so we know I learned. I was learning and listening. That's why I came on as a learner tonight. I tried to participate, but I've been taking notes and trying to pick up as many nuggets that you're laying down. So, but yeah, Sean, we have great guests, and it just seems like every week the dialogue, the instruction, the information, it just gets better and better. And Brandy, I know. The more we have you on, the better the information is going to get. So I thank you for being on and joining us tonight.
Well, I enjoyed it as always, Louisa and Sean. Again, I will have a one-pager available to anyone that's interested. And what it'll be, it'll just be just tips and information to get prepared to begin that government contracting journey.
That would be wonderful. And how would they get that? What would they need to do to get that information?
If they'll send an email to services@thesevaingroup.com requesting that one pager, we'll send it over.
That is wonderful. And if I could just impose upon you just a little bit, because my heart, you know, my heart is with my group. I miss them so much. If you could drop that one pager into the Black Wealth Creation Group, I would be eternally grateful.
Grateful
because I know we have some people in there that, you know, need this type of information, and I hope they were listening. This is good stuff. This is we talking about creating black wealth. So, you know, hey, this is a piece of that puzzle. And, wow, so glad to have you on the show. And without further ado, we have this show was rocking. It was exciting, and we just don't stop. It's 2015. We have hit the ground running, and we are at breakneck speed. We are not stopping. We're not slowing down. I'm not sleeping. I'm sleeping a little bit, but not much. But I love being on this show, and I love hanging out with Louisa. And Louisa, can you tell us a little bit about next Monday's show? Not next Tuesday. We're moving a special edition to Monday, and can you tell us why we're doing that?
Yes, I can, and I'm excited. I know we've been leading up to it every week, but next Monday, that is Monday, February 2nd, we're going to have a special guest with a special show. We're not going to have a business of the week or a nonprofit of the week because we want to give this gentleman as much time as possible to be on with us and to talk about what he's doing and what he's done. and that is Mr. Cheyenne Bostock. I call him Mr. Twitter because Cheyenne and I we started following each other on Twitter. Probably it's been about 5 years ago when he was really coming onto the scene, and he is a life and relationship coach as well as an author. And I've just watched this gentleman really blow up, leveraging social media, which is one thing he's done very well, and as well just delivering his opinions and his advice on life and relationships, not always agreed upon by some. I will say that. He delivers it to you hard and fast, and he does not apologize for it, but nevertheless, he causes you to think. So next Monday, we're going to have Cheyenne Bostock on the show. He just recently wrote another book, his second book, and it is called Break Every Chain. It's discussing relationships among men and their families and their communities. So we're gonna allow him to, or invite him on and ask him to share about his book, what he's doing, and really, to me, I wanna really hear his opinion on the black man, his position in the black family, and definitely his position in the black community in developing and creating those healthy black communities that we so very badly need, especially today in this day and age. So that's next Monday at 7 p.m. Central, and that's Monday, February 2nd. Please, everybody, tune in. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
And, Louisa, you would be so proud of me. You would just be so proud of me. I've already got it set up. I'm going to send that link to you after the show, and so you can forward it to him, and he will, I'm going to promote it as much as I can. I hope he will promote it to his people as much as possible, and, of course, you have your network, and we can promote that, because I didn't want to be called out. I didn't want him to say, black man, why don't you get on your job? Why are you having this your job is taken care of? So I didn't want him to call me out, so I got on it. And so it's already ready to go. I'm going to send it to you after this show, and we can start promoting that, because I think at the foundation level, at the core level, we have to get, as black men, we have to get our act together. Not all of us now. Some of us are doing quite well, but we always want to make sure that we reach back. We always want to make sure that we're supporting each other and helping each other. And I think in our community, it seems like it's much easier for our women to join together and work together and uplift each other than it is for men. We tend to be solitary creatures. We tend to have that rugged individualism. I'm going to do it on my own and pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Well, that works to a degree. But there's a part where you need other men to come alongside you. Like I talked about my boy earlier, Darren, come alongside you and support you and say, hey, brother, you can do this. I believe in you. I don't care what the others have said about you. I believe in you. And we all need to hear that. So I'm looking forward to him. I'm looking forward to him being on the show. I'm excited. And like we said, don't forget, it's going to be next Monday, not next Tuesday. This show is going to be so big. That's the only show we're having for that week. We're not going to have a nonprofit. We're not going to have a business of the week. We want to give you as much time, as much opportunity to spend with this man as possible. So, I put on the invite on the show information, whether you are a black man or if you know a black man, you need to listen to this show. So I think that pretty much covers a lot of people. So I think we're going to be pretty well covered with that information. So anyway. Louisa, how can they get in touch with you? And I know we're both going to be working hard this week promoting the show, but what else have you got going on?
Well, Sean, I have the official relaunch, getting ready for that, of the website. Like I said, it's up now. There was a soft. We've already had the soft launch. I'm just finishing up migrating content and all. So that's a big thing for me, as usual. I'm constantly out there trying to touch as many people as I can and build as many relationships as I can. So that's a constant. If anybody would like to get a hold of me, the easiest way to do it, if you go to mindyourblackbusiness.com and go to the contact page, you can shoot me a message, comes directly to me, or you can send me a direct email, and that's at info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. But the quickest way is if you just go to the website, because you don't have to worry about trying to figure out, was it info, was it submissions, what's her name, whatever. Just send me a message through the contact page. I am always looking for businesses to feature. If you have an event going on, if you want to do advertising, if you are a business person or a professional who has something really on your heart that you like to write about and share, we are always looking for content providers. In exchange, I give some really great social media and marketing for my writers. So it's always in exchange for me. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours too. But so if you want to get a hold of me, go to the website, mindyourblackbusiness.com, and just shoot me a quick message. And if you Google mindyourblackbusiness.com and you just want to figure out where we are, I'm all over the web, all over online, so you can find us pretty much everywhere. So, but other than the website relaunch and Cheyenne coming on next week, Sean, it's just all about creating those relationships for me.
That's what it's about. And hey, if you're looking, it's 2015. If you're looking to increase your income, increase that cash flow, please get in touch with me, because I would love to work with you. I'd love to help you. You can contact me at SeanHI77@yahoo.com, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that when you contact me. But I'm looking to help everyone possible, increase their income and increase their cash flow. And my stay, my exile is almost over. I will be jumping back on Facebook on February the 1st. That happens to be just a momentous day. I believe it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm excited. I'm going to be back and I'm coming off the bench. So February is going to get off to a great start for me. I got the Super Bowl I'm looking forward to. I got Cheyenne coming on. I always have Louisa. So, man, forget about Black History Month. I am excited. I cannot wait for February to get here, because it is going to be an awesome month. Anyway, as always, I have enjoyed it so much. This is incredible highlight of my week. I cannot say the height of my week, because my wife will kill me, but it is an incredible, incredible, exciting part of my week. And I love spending time with you and Louisa and Brandy. Always a pleasure to spend time with her. And once again, we'll probably reach out to Brandy, because I know one thing that we touched upon real lightly tonight that I really want to go into a little bit deeper is grants and funding businesses and how you get the finances up. And so we'll talk about that in a whole lot more detail a little bit later. But until then, as we always say and as we always sign off here, we love every one of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting us. This is going to be a great year. We appreciate every person that listens and that supports us in everything that we do. And as I always say, build black, buy black, and be black. Have a wonderful week, and come back next Monday, and I look forward to it. Have a great week, everybody.